Trout Unlimited Headwaters Chapter 642 and Trout Unlimited's Trout in the Classroom Initiative. Here to tell us more are Jim McCracken, Val Wagner, and Charlie Parson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. I'm going to start with Charlie.
Okay.
Charlie, what is Trout Unlimited?
Trout Unlimited is a national organization that was created to perpetuate cold water fisheries. And cold water fisheries particularly means trout in streams in most of the United States, where it's cold enough to sustain trout. Here's cold enough to sustain trout. A lot of Alabama isn't cold enough to sustain trout. And right now, with global warming, we have a transition happening, which is a major concern for Trout Unlimited. As the temperature rises a degree or two in streams that are already critical for supporting trout. So the area that will support trout in 50 years may only be half the area that it is today. So it's a big deal. And so how do we make that happen to not warm up so much? We try to do projects that increase the shading on streams so they don't just bake in the sun. In our area, we're lucky because a lot of our streams are spring-fed, and those springs are 49 degrees, and they're not going to warm up as fast as streams that are not spring-fed.
Are you seeing our trout numbers going down?
They will.
They will.
They will, inevitably.
Okay.
Yeah, and the area that you have to go fish is just not going to be there if you're in one of those marginal areas.
Huh. What? Well, I was going to ask, one of the questions was, how are they affected by climate change? But it seems like they will be affected by climate
change. Right, right. And if a stream isn't spring-fed, for sure it's going to suffer. And the lower reaches of a lot of streams aren't spring-fed, and so that water's going to become too warm, and their trout are going to move upstream, if there is an upstream to move to.
Right. And so the whole ecosystem could change.
The whole ecosystem is changing.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the issue.
Okay.
You know, we're lucky that Straight River is our premier trout stream, and it has enough spring feeding in it that the trout congregate there, and we haven't had any trout die-offs yet.
Okay.
But it is too warm to support trout, except where those springs are, a couple times a year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Jim, I'm going to move to you if you could talk about the Trout in the Classroom Initiative.
Right. So TIC, Trout in the Classroom, is a national program sponsored by Trout Unlimited to increase awareness with students about the natural environment, and trout happens to be the focal point for the project. But it's also supported by the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Tony Standera here in the local area is very helpful and a great resource for us. And then we cooperate with our local school districts. And in essence, we have fish tanks that are in the classrooms. And the eggs, trout eggs, are delivered, in fact, next week here in our area. And so the students are looking forward to having them come into their classrooms. So they hatch those eggs and raise trout, and we'll release them into local trout streams in the spring. And then all throughout the year, the teachers use that fish tank and fish as a way to articulate and integrate a variety of different academic disciplines into their teaching. So they're teaching science, learning about invertebrates. They're teaching about social studies and watersheds and living with our neighbors and water quality, and mathematics, monitoring temperatures and charting growth of the fish, and even art. Tying in art and painting the environment and the fish and that type of thing. So it's a real way to encourage hands-on, heads-on learning with the students, and something that really leaves a mark with them.
No kidding. So do you guys go in and set up the tanks for the teacher?
Well, we help out the teachers themselves with their experience. In fact, right now they're doing that to prepare for the egg delivery. So, but we help them get the tanks and the necessary support equipment and the food and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the students are actually play a very important role in that. They help manage the tanks. They're responsible for monitoring water quality and temperature. And again, just keeping an eye on things to make sure that that the tank is running smoothly and successfully.
So these are freshwater fish.
Yes, these are rainbow trout.
So maintenance is a different in a freshwater aquarium than in a saltwater aquarium. A little easier?
Well, I guess I haven't raised saltwater fish, so I'm not sure if I can compare that. But
yeah.
Yes, they do have to monitor. You know, they're like as Charlie was pointing out with temperature, they have to maintain a certain temperature. We have chillers, you know, in saltwater fish. I guess they don't have to worry about that quite so much. But we have to keep the water cold,
mm-hmm.
and so again, they monitor that that temperature and the quality, the bacteria and that kind of thing.
Interesting. How are the eggs? Do they come in a bag or what?
Yes. Yeah. They come in containers, and they're just you know, fish eggs, and they have little. Two little black specks in them. Sometimes you can see those right away. And those are actually the eyes of the trout. And they'll then progress through the life cycle of the fish. They'll, from the egg, they hatch into something called an alevin, which is actually looks like a very small minnow with an egg sac up by its head, which is still the egg. That's their food source. And then eventually that dissolves and they turn into little fry, little fish. So when they're released into the water in the spring, in May, they're anywhere between 2 and 4, 4.5 inches long.
Okay.
So.
Wow, the kids, this is so much better than looking at pictures in a textbook.
Oh, It is unbelievable for them just to watch in the tanks, of course, and the growth and how they develop. But then when they get out there in May for that release day, and they take turns each taking some fish and dropping them into the water, they're so full of pride and joy.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible day for
them.
Sending
their babies out into the world.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
What schools in the area are involved right now?
So Gene Dillon Elementary here in Bemidji, and Jeff Wade, who, by the way, was the first classroom teacher in Minnesota to have a tank, and that was 13 years ago. And then Allison Tisdale and Joe Adams. And then we also have Laura Thomason.
Yeah, I just did Let's Visit on Kellyer, so
yes.
I was kind of privy to all the cool stuff
happening
at the school.
And Kurt Lundin at Northholme.
Yeah. Oh,
so
awesome.
So we have a total of 5 in our immediate area. There are 39 this year in the state of Minnesota, 39 tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have a waiting list of, I think there's like 15 more teachers that want to get on board for next year.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That's awesome. And Val, we were talking about release day. Is
right.
that when the kids go, do they actually go fishing on that day?
No.
Okay.
We also have a fifth grade educational fly fishing program. And they sign up through Community Ed. We have like 20 volunteer TU people that come in. We divide the group into fly tying, tying knots, learning how to put on leaders, and then casting. So the kids rotate through that for 4 weeks. And then those kids get to go fishing at the Clearwater River.
Oh, okay.
For a day of fishing.
Okay. So you're a fly fisherwoman.
I am.
How did you get into it? It's from my perspective, it's a male-dominated kind of. But I know a couple women who really love it.
It's the fastest growing sport right now for women getting into it. I started about 20 years ago. I've been fishing all my life, throwing that daredevil and reeling it in. And Bob and I just decided we were bored with fishing. And fly fishing adds so many new dimensions. You look at the weather, you look at what they're eating, you look at the water, you're much more into nature, into your surroundings. And then the casting part, once you've learned it, is just, I don't know, it's an art. It's
like a dance.
Yeah, it's fun to do. It just adds more to it.
Right. That was you heard somebody say it's a dance. We have a new person at our crowded table to play off of that song we just played, Chris Williams. They're the president of the chapter.
President-elect.
Okay. So. It does look like a dance. It's very graceful.
It is. And it's timing and technique, not muscle. So that's where women usually pick it up quicker than men.
Okay.
Because men want to muscle it. And women tend to listen. We offer a fly fishing class just for women. It's more like a retreat. It's a Friday, Saturday every year. And the women tend to listen. They don't have the bad habits more that men have of trying to muscle it. And so it's been fun.
Huh. No kidding. If a student or if a teacher wants to get involved in Trout in the Classroom, or if a woman wants to go to the retreat, how do people get involved? Signed up for this kind of a thing?
Well, they can certainly get in contact with us, any one of us, or our local chapter, 642. Check out what website, that type of thing.
Well, we've got Facebook. I think it's okay. The Headwaters chapter 642 or something like that, Trout Unlimited. We also have an email address that anyone can email, which is mntu642@gmail.com. And they can email that, and it'll, you know, we'll disseminate that to whoever it's, you know, goes to.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Plus, we have community fly tying nights at the Garden Grill and Pub in Nymoor. And those are Thursdays, but not every Thursday. But just they can come and see what it's like, and all of us are there with information.
Okay, and that's a whole art in and of itself.
It is.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you guys are on the path to creating a lot of change through the youth and just exposing people to the world of trout fishing and fly fishing. So thank you.
Thank you.
That was Jim McCracken, Val Wagner, Chris Williams, and you heard from Charlie Parson earlier. They are members of the Trout Unlimited Headwaters 642 chapter. Thank you guys for all you're doing.
Thanks.
Thank you. Carry Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.